Never played in a fantasy league and wanted to find out what they're all about, but were afraid to ask. Ever wanted to start one, but not sure how? Maybe you're in one and want to live life to the fullest. Well, if you have lined up questions and want to explore the best trade possibilities or any other subject, Matthew Berry will be in town on Wednesday. He is senior fantasy sports analyst for ESPN and author of the new book, Fantasy Life: The Hilarious, Obsessive, Uplifting, and Heartbreaking World of Fantasy Sports from the Guy Who's Lived It. He will be at Merritt Bookstore on Wednesday and joins us this morning. Matthew Berry, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It is a delight. As I mentioned, this book is very funny. What brought you to this fantasy life, do you think?
All right. Well, to playing, I was 14 years old, and I was always sort of the new kid. My parents moved around a lot when I was a child, and in 1984, I had just read this book, Rotisserie League Baseball, by the Founding Fathers, and it described this, you know, brand-new game they had invented, the best game for baseball fans since baseball. And I played tennis competitively, and so I had a tennis coach, and I'm going up, and he's talking to his buddy, my tennis coaches, about this weird language that I just read about. I'm like, are you guys talking about Rotisserie League Baseball? Like, yeah. And so I was just so happy to... And they're like, you've heard of it? And I'm like, yeah. And so, you know, we've all been in leagues where you just need one guy, any guy, just to fill out the league. And that first year, the Fat Dogs were no exception. So there's a bunch of guys in the late 20s and early 30s, and I was a 14-year-old freshman in high school. But they needed a guy, and I was happy to just be included somewhere. So they asked me if I want to join. I said yes, and I fell in love with the game. So I think what initially drew me to it was just, you know, wanted to be included in something, and what I fell in love with it about, this is what the book touches on, is the fun of it. You know, I love the fun of it, the camaraderie, the smack talk, the crazy trophies, you know, the insane attempts at cheating, the above and beyond things that people do to try to draft, and, you know, the book is filled with all those kind of stories. So that's what drew it to me and, you know, keeps me playing in it. It's just fun, man.
It is fun, as the title suggests, though there is an obsessive quality to it. What do you think there is about it that is that creates the obsession?
I think it's the fact that you have some control over it, but not total control over it. So it's very personal. You pick your team, and like, these are your guys. You believe in them. You've drafted them, so you care about them deeply. But you obviously can't control them because they're out playing those games. And so I think that it sort of makes you obsess on it. It's almost like having a child, right? I have five kids, believe it or not, and so it's one of those things, like you love your kids, you desperately want them to do well, you try to teach them what you think the right way to act is, but then they go out and like you hope for the best, so you obsess about your kids, right? And I think it's actually sort of the same thing with fantasy, in that you care about it so much. And I liken it to a Bruce Springsteen concert. Like, you might be a Springsteen fan, like, in terms of his music. You've heard of him, obviously. Maybe a song comes to the radio you like, and you turn it up. But until you go to a Springsteen concert, you don't get the fanaticism. And once you see this guy, you know, over 60, playing for over 3 hours, like,
right,
then you get it. Then you suddenly, you understand the fanaticism. You understand why there's so many people that are so into him, that travel the country. And the same thing is true with fantasy sports. Once you play it, you get it.
That's a great analogy. You point out that some 35 million people in the United States and Canada spend just hours upon hours working on their fantasy sports teams. That's a lot of people. And these are people who basically are sports fans who I assume want just a little bit more, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you are a sports fan, it helps you enjoy sports even more. I'm a Washington Redskins fan. I have been since I was 5 years old and lived in Virginia. But so I'll watch every Washington game as long as I live. Having said that, however, I might not have an interest in a game like a Cleveland Browns Arizona Cardinals game, you know, two teams that have struggled recently. But I have Trent Richardson, the Browns running back, on my team. You have Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals wide receiver, on your fantasy team. Suddenly I care. Now I have a rooting interest in a game I normally wouldn't have cared about. And that's what it does. It gives you a rooting interest in games you wouldn't care about. And what I've also found is that if you don't like sports at all, it gives you a reason to care about sports. My wife was never a big sports fan, didn't grow up with it, doesn't really watch sports, but we started recently, and I talk about this in the book, we started a fantasy league with our kids. with our kids, with some parents that are friends of our kids' friends, and kind of a friends and family league, if you will. And now, as a result of it, my wife is suddenly into sports. Like, she suddenly wants to watch the game because now she has a rooting interest in the game where she didn't before. And it's an easy way to learn about sports if you're not a sports fan.
When you go out and you talk about the book, you're going to be at Merit Books, as I mentioned, on Wednesday. And I would assume some people want to talk about the book, but I would think you most times just get into these conversations about leagues and individual players and sort of the mechanics.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know necessarily the mechanics, but certainly people love to tell me stories. And it's one of the reasons I wrote the book, is because I kept getting all these great stories from people about their leagues. You know, the story of the guys in Nebraska, it's the Tattoo League. If you go to YouTube and you just search for Tattoo League, you'll see video of this. It's crazy. But there's a league in Nebraska where the loser of the league has to get a tattoo chosen by the winner.
Lord.
Yeah, I mean, not some henna tattoo. This is a permanent rest of your life tattoo. And there's a guy in Nebraska walking around right now with a tattoo of Justin Bieber's face. It says hashtag fantasy loser, hashtag YOLO swag, if you can imagine.
You have some great stories in the book about cheating. You wouldn't think that this is possible, but cheating exists.
Yes. Yeah, there was a work league where the commissioner of the league thought he had won his game. But in 1999, this is a couple of years ago, Rashard Mendenhall, the Steelers, people might remember this game, playing against the Jets, had this phantom first down. He'd been credited with 100 yards rushing. 3 days later, Elias comes out and says, no, actually it was 99. You know, we looked at the game tape, and they had adjusted his score. They changed the amount of yards he had for the official statistics from 100 yards to 99. Well, this guy who thought he had won on Monday Tuesday morning when all the games were done, suddenly on Thursday finds out, oh, I've lost. So he's very upset. He feels cheated. He feels angry. So that night he goes into the computer, because he's the commissioner, and he changes the scoring to make him so that he's won the league. Okay. Now, the next day, however, turns out he goes into work, and it's a work league. He goes into work, and they're all accusing him because on the league website, it shows a commissioner has made a change. You think, wow, that's pretty bad. You know, this guy cheated with a bunch of coworkers. Here's the worst part. The job, he's a pastor. It's a league filled with pastors. It's a church league.
Oh, boy.
Can you believe that? Like, and it turns out, actually, they started accusing him. He's like, oh, yeah, well, what about when Charlie did this? And they all start yelling at each other because there had been a couple of people. There had been a lot of cheating going on in this pastor league. And you're like, what is going on? So that's a story from the book, kind of typical of the extremes sometimes that people will go to, that fantasy will make people do some nutty stuff.
Do you think there is one sport that lends itself better to this than others?
I think fantasy football, and that's why it's the most popular, is because it's not as many players, so it's easier to sort of, the barrier to entry is much lower. It's all geared around basically one time frame, Sundays. You know, you got a Thursday game, you got a Monday game, but it's mostly Sundays, and the season is relatively short, just 17 weeks. Yes, I think football lends itself better to fantasy. I love fantasy baseball. I love fantasy basketball. To be honest, if you can keep score at it, there's a way to keep do a fantasy game of it. You name it, there's a fantasy version of it. But I think fantasy football lends itself to fantasy very easily.
And certainly from reading the book, you get this impression, and just from observing, it doesn't seem like this is going anywhere. It's only getting bigger.
It's only getting bigger. That's true. In 2012, 13% of all Americans played fantasy sports, according to Ipsos, the research company. Just to give your audience some sort of comparison, in 2012, 8% of all Americans played golf.
Only 8%? So, yeah, that number surprises me, yes.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's one of those things, it's like, you know, it used to be sort of this nerdy thing, and now I think the nerds are the people who don't play, because they're in the minority.
It's a great book. It's Fantasy Life, the Hilarious, Obsessive, Uplifting, and Heartbreaking World of Fantasy Sports, from the guy who's lived it. The book is published by Riverhead. Matthew will be at the Merritt Bookstore on Wednesday at 7 p.m., and it's a great pleasure to have you join us this morning. Matthew, thank you very much for being with us.
I appreciate it, and I hope to see everyone out at the Merritt Bookstore. We'll talk sleepers and busts and stories from the book and anything else you guys want to talk about. We'll do a whole Q&A, so it should be a good time.
A great time indeed. Merritt Bookstore in Millbrook on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Again, the name of the book, Fantasy Life, the hilarious, obsessive, uplifting, and heartbreaking world of fantasy sports from the guy who's lived it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.